Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to our 13th episode. On this episode, I'd like to feature an interview I recently recorded with Kate Stetz. Kate is a graduate of Darden in our class of 2017. She was a GEMBA format student, and I recently sat down to talk with her about her experience at Darden, what she really loved about our Global Executive MBA format, and some of the things that the program helped her accomplish in terms of her professional development. But before we get to my interview with Kate, I wanted to share a little bit more about where we are in the admission cycle. So for those of you who are thinking about or contemplating applying to Darden, know that we are now two application deadlines into our overall executive format round. We've had our October and November deadline. We will be releasing decisions for our November deadline on the 20th of December. Our next deadline is January 10th, so perhaps some of you may be using the holiday season to put together your application and finalize your application materials. As we always note here on the podcast, I'm here to help in any way that we can. We can be reached by email at exec, that's exec mba@darden.virginia.edu. We also have a number of conversation opportunities if you want to ask some questions about Darden as you think about potential fit, or if you need some guidance as you put together your application materials. Be sure to check out our website and our schedule a conversation page for additional details about scheduling a phone conversation. In the new year, we will have class visits in January and February. We'll have some networking breakfasts. We will have also office hours, so no shortage of ways to connect and learn about Darden in the coming weeks and months. So be sure to keep an eye on our website for updates. But right now, here's my interview with Kate Stetz. Kate, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So for our listeners at home, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Well, I currently serve as the Managing Director for Clinovations, which is a division of the Advisory Board Company, which is a fancy way of saying a healthcare consulting firm in the Washington, D.C. area. And I've been in healthcare for the last 10 years and just recently finished up my Global Executive MBA program. So I'm excited to say I'm a recent grad.
So obviously, we got to know each other through the application process. But how did you choose Darden? What eventually led you to become a GEMBA student?
Yeah, I will be fully transparent that you guys sold me on the global. When I thought about doing an exec MBA, this was always something that was on my radar. I had thought about doing a full-time program for a while, and life had just gotten so chaotic. I was with a growth firm, and every time I thought about taking 2 years off, some other great career opportunity popped up that just never felt like the right timing. And through some of my research still into the possible formats for an MBA, I was looking at part-time, I was looking at exec, I stumbled on the global format for Darden and sort of fell in love. So I really attached to the fact that if you're going to go back and get an education, like, why not use it as an excuse to also travel the world? And two, I was in a point in my career where I had done pretty well, but I was looking for ways to continue to innovate. It's easy to get stuck in your own bubble and your own perspective. And I think what also sold me about the Darden program was gaining a whole new set of perspectives on my current day-to-day work-life balance, but seeing it from, again, around the globe or from a different cultural perspective felt like a way to really drive innovation in my own thought by pushing me completely out of my comfort zone. And that's really why the Darden Global program ended up being the right one for me.
So one of the things that the students mention, and I've mentioned on the podcast, is when you go on these global residencies, you sort of have a unique opportunity to disconnect from your life and be fully present in the residencies. Does that square with your experience?
It does. Someone just told me that marketing videos these days have to be 6 seconds. And I think that just shows me how ADD our lives have become, where like everything is a 2-sentence email or a quick blip on the screen. And it is so easy to, if you're in still your comfort zone, to be on your laptop while you're in class and still connected to your cell phone and texting with people and still like tempted to check your work email. And when you go to China and suddenly realize you have to take a loaner laptop because you can't take any intellectual property with you for the most part, at least depending on your company and what you allow, you really check into the class, you check into the learning environment, and you check into the world around you, and you see a whole new perspective of how people on the other side of the globe live, how many similarities there are, and at the same time, how many different ways they view the same problem that you would, and even approach it from a different decision-making perspective than you might from your Eastern-centric viewpoint or Western-centric viewpoint, depending on where you grew up.
So one of the things also that sometimes Gemba students will mention is the shared experience of going to multiple locations together, right? So you're the only students in the class who have gone to, in the case of your class, it was Brazil, China, Western Europe, India. So what's that like, having seen these four global locations?
I mean, first, you get to know people really well when you are on the road together for like 2+ weeks at a time, and you are facing language barriers, you are dealing with foods that you're not quite sure what's in them, you are, again, just going through the adventures of getting lost in a whole new city and a whole new culture, a whole new language. So you get to know your classmates really well, and that's something that I've truly enjoyed. I also think you are forced to not just view the culture from a tourist perspective when you're meeting with some of the company execs. And I think that's what really turn the dial for me in immersing with the culture. You have time to go on some of these explorations. Like when you're in Paris, you have time to visit the Eiffel Tower. Or when you are in India, you clearly have time to go to the Taj Mahal. But what I felt like was most nuanced for me of what you get in the two-week program is meeting with people who this is their day-to-day life and the business challenges they face of, you know, you see in India that the transportation is challenging, but like suddenly when you are there and you realize that like Amazon can't necessarily get you something in 2 days when the streets flood literally in 2 hours due to a rainstorm. Like I have videos of us driving through streets with like rain up to like the midsize of the tire because that's how quickly the streets flood. And you don't realize that until you are there and you realize the day-to-day challenges. Like one of my favorite quotes in India is, "We don't measure your commute in distance, we measure it in time," because you could be, it's, I don't know, sometimes like DC, you could be 3 miles away and it will take you 2 hours to get there depending on how many barriers you run into, and that could be floods, it could be cows blocking traffic, it could be just like poor infrastructure. You just don't know until you get there all of the logistics of what it takes to truly live in a different environment and a different culture. And I also say they have great highways too, which you might not know. They have like super high speed highways as well in India. So like unless you've really been there and see the disparate differences in just like 2 blocks or even 2 miles, it's hard to really grasp from just a textbook.
So you obviously went to a lot of places and did a lot of things. What are some of your favorite memories from the program? Anything stand out in particular?
Oh, good question. It's hard to pick a few. I would say some of those moments that I will never forget will, one, be the Great Wall of China. We got there at the top of the wall with our program, and they had a cocktail hour set up, and it was like beautiful weather. So it was like 70 degrees and sunny and a cocktail, and like you could just see everywhere around you. There was no smog, and we just got to wander the wall with friends, and it was absolutely beautiful. And there's a slide down, if they don't tell you this, so you actually get to like slide down the wall. And then we like ended the day in this like beautiful courtyard. I don't even know how the professors found this. Larry is a genius, but he found this beautiful courtyard, so we're then able to have dinner outside as our cohort. We're the only ones in this courtyard, and like we watched the sunset, like, and it's just one of those things that you will never forget.
Yeah, nobody's ever mentioned the slide to me. I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing.
All the more reason to go visit. So you're now on the other side of the program. You graduated recently, and it was fun to see your class together there at the picnic before graduation. But what have been the biggest takeaways for you from the program in terms of, you know, your leadership or how you think about business these days?
I would say three biggest values that I got out of Darden was, first, access to top of their field professors. And for me, I received a promotion in the middle of the Gemba program. to oversee operations for a new consulting firm that we had acquired and were bringing into the fold of my company. And so that was a pretty big challenge for me. And having access to Elliot Weiss, who is a genius at operations, and Robert Caraway, who is an expert at statistical modeling and probability, allowed me to truly pick their brains, and we created a new in kind model that allowed us to use the statistical probability. For those that are going through the program now, I apologize, I'm going to use the word crystal ball, which is sort of a dirty word when you're going through your MBA program, alongside of Elliot's operational background, to marry together to come up with this really cool model, which allowed us to figure out, and I'm sorry, I'm nerding out now, how you basically optimize your profit margin. Because in a world of consulting, your demand's variable. Getting the right talent is variable, how long it takes to find them, recruit them. But optimizing the right number of staff to meet the new contracts coming in is the biggest driver of your margin. So using that statistical probability of how you handle the variance in ups and downs of demand for when contracts come in and when you find the right staff to optimize your margins was what we built in this model. And it was really cool. We turned it into a case study that we actually co-wrote together that is now used as part of the curriculum for future MBA. So I apologize if any of you have to read a case called the S word.
That's what it's called? The S word?
Because staffing. It's staffing. A dirty word. Yeah. That became the dirty word at my company when we took it over, because we had to figure out the optimal level of staffing.
And we were talking a little bit offline before we started the podcast recording here. You actually went down to Darden and helped teach.
Yes. I actually taught the full-time residents part of this case study. And of course, they have really good questions. They're like, well, can't you just overwork the staff? And I'm like, remember, a lot of you are applying for consulting, so keep that in mind when suddenly you want to up this to 50 hours a week. No, I'm teasing. But they had great questions, and it was a lot of fun meeting all the full-time students as well. They're an incredibly great class, so we had a lot of fun co-teaching it and talking through it together.
Do you feel like the global perspective is something that you carry with you to this day? The fact that you went to all these places, do you feel like that's also shaped how you think about your job and what you do?
Yes. I mean, it's so funny. I just actually got back from a work trip to India. And the reason I was selected for the project is because of the Global MBA program. Basically, we had a really cool engagement opportunity close. I work in healthcare, where we had investors in the U.S. who wanted to bring a startup that they had invested in India potentially to the U.S. And they wanted us as a consulting firm to come up with the operational model for the U.S. The challenge is they had a time limit on when they had certain rights to make a decision, and I won't get into the details there, but basically we got the contract signed on Friday, and we needed someone on a plane to India on Wednesday. And because of the Global MBA, I had already had my Indian vaccines. I knew India a little bit, like knew the visa process, and they're like, hey, we need you to get on a plane. So I just recently got back from India, and it is amazing that while I was there, I thought of how many tips and tricks that I got from being through Gemba of just the cultural norms of what to do while you're there, what even these business execs that we were meeting with, they were the CEO, the CFO, the COO of the startup firm, would expect while we were there. Just having the cultural norms already under your belt made it feel like you weren't fumbling around in the dark. And I just felt more confident navigating India, especially on a business trip, having been there before. And so it really does open up your horizons and makes you a lot more marketable to your firm, because suddenly they think of you as the go-to for how you start to think through some of the global opportunities and new engagements that come in.
So we have some prospective students that listen to the podcast. If you were to sit with a prospective student and they would say to you, why Darden? What would you share with that student?
I would say, why not? No, I'm kidding. That's my marketing side coming out. The reasons I would say why Darden are, one, I feel like the professors truly are top class. I mean, you look at any ranking and the professors at Darden get top ranking every time, and they take the time to really get to know you and invest in whatever challenges you are facing at work. Like, again, the fact that Elliot and Robert were willing to lean in and create this crazy model, which directly impacted my day-to-day. We have single-handedly saved the company $1 million due to this model that we now have in place. is a huge, huge advantage. You almost get free consulting through the relationships that you create with these professors. Now they're probably going to start like side charging. No, I'm kidding. But like, it is an amazing opportunity to work for people that are truly best in class in their professions. And I just don't think you can minimize that enough. And then two, I really liked the people. So I got to sit in a class while I was there, and I felt like I could just relate to everyone in the class around me. You know, if you're going to spend 2 years with folks, you want to make sure that you're going to build some of these networks and friends of people that you want to work with in the future. That's the value of a network, is finding people that you want to share ideas with, start companies with, or, you know, do great things with in terms of starting a big corporation. So you want to know that you like them at the end of the day. And it passed the likability test for me. It felt like I could spend time and get a drink with everyone in the room. And I think the last reason why Darden is, it's a top-ranked program. Like, it has been ranked consistently by The Economist and other organizations as the top-ranked MBA, and the global program really put it over the edge.
So one of the things that's interesting to me, occasionally we'll speak with prospective students, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I talked to a bunch of the current students, and they said to do GIMBA because as soon as they went on one global residency, they realized they wanted to do all of the global residencies. That sounds like that probably squares with your experience, just having traveled and done the program.
I mean, if you have the opportunity to go to France and Germany and China, why not? Like, again, I know sometimes people have life restrictions, and I think Darden has a lot of formats that work around it, but if you are able to take the time, you will never regret it, because you will get to see amazing new things and think outside the box and see problems from different perspectives that you don't always get if you're stuck in your same sphere of comfort or just even ruminating on the same day-to-day stressors that you normally have. I feel like just checking out of your normal day-to-day life and coming at it from a whole new perspective. Like, I felt like sometimes just checking out and not thinking about work problems brought me back refreshed enough that I was like, oh, that answer was a lot simpler than I realized, because suddenly I could get out of all the noise and focus on what really mattered. So I am a huge fan. If you can make your life work it or work for it, I think you should 100% take advantage.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's a pleasure having you, and always great talking with our GIMBA graduates. And we've had some great conversations with the current GIMBA students, too. So it's nice to hear how your comments and their comments really resonate with each other. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Kate Stutz, GIMBA format student in our class of 2017. Of course, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, any topics you would like us to take on here on the Exec MBA podcast, let us know. Your feedback is always welcome and appreciated. We can be reached by email at exec, that's exec mba@darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.